chemical weapons.
Saddam Hussein dead. Suspected
terrorist. You're listening to Cinema Recon.
Hello and welcome to Cinema Recon, the only podcast that comes in tall, grande, and big.
The sizes, the confusing sizes of coffee companies. I've only just begun to understand, to grasp.
Well, luckily, ours comes in big.
Them. So you know ours is size America.
It is May 2nd, 2014. We are here with a very special edition, it feels like, of Cinema Recon. I think this is the earliest time we've ever set up the microphones.
As of right now, it is Mark, 8:27 and 30 seconds a.m.
In the that means morning time. At morning.
That means when the sun comes up.
It's crazy. So we decided to get in front of the microphones early because we saw an advanced screening of The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Woohoo!
And we would like to get our review in front of your ears.
Yeah, we want to slap it on your ear face right quick, right fresh.
Right like fresh
a,
now.
Like a fresh, hot, steamy bagel with bagel-y freshness.
That you put in your ears for some reason.
You say, this bagel sounds delicious.
So the Cinema Recon Studios smells of freshly brewed coffee.
and ear bagels.
And hangovers. But we are excited because Amazing Spider-Man 2 is technically released today. And so we'll get the show up as soon as possible, and you can start listening to us jib-jab and talk about it.
Well, I mean, at this point, they are listening to us jib-jab and talk about it.
Okay, so once we've traveled through time and into your ears, you'll be hearing us talking about Spider-Man 2. And so we'll probably forego the news section and just focus mainly on our review today.
It's a big movie. It's a big movie. It deserves our utmost full scathing review. I mean, attention.
Just glaring, glaring, rip-roarious scathing review.
After the review of this movie, we would request that you take your iPhone, your Android phone, your Samsung Galaxy whatnots, listen to the review, and then just poop on that device. I'm just kidding.
I'm just kidding. Drop it in a cup of water. So it's a big weekend. It's a big weekend for Cinema Recon. It's a big weekend for Paul and Jake.
Yeah, who do my taxes?
Who? it's a little late, buddy.
No. It's good.
Okay, I was wondering why the SWAT team's outside.
I called Barry O. He gave me a couple extra weeks.
He's a good
good friend of the show, actually.
Good friend of the show. Call in, Barry. Barry, are we calling him Barry O?
Barry O, Mr. Obama.
He should have a cereal named after him.
Barry O's. Now with more socialism.
Exactly. So, welcome to Political Recon.
The prize in the box is somebody else's paycheck.
Yeah, no, the prize in the box is you owe money to somebody. You have to pay someone else. Your paycheck is in someone else's box of Barrios.
Here's a health player can't. Wow, here's an English lesson. How about that? Whatever.
Whatever.
I had some joke about the health. I can't even say it.
Pretend like you're laughing right now about healthcare.
Go ahead. Go on.
So I'll go ahead and say that once again, welcome to Cinema Recon. You can visit us on our website at cinemarecon.com. Write to us at cinemarecon@gmail.com and visit us at Facebook and Twitter by searching for Cinema Recon. And of course, you can listen to the show on all kinds of places.
All the mediums.
One of the places being, of course, our website, but also iTunes, Stitcher, and
a lot of other places.
And your friend's house.
Just Google us, Barbara.
So, with that being said, we have a big weekend planned as well, don't we, Jake?
Yeah, I'm doing my taxes.
He's doing his taxes. Jake and I are taking a trip. We're going off for a little bachelor.
Spring break! I'm just kidding.
Jake just took his shirt off and ran out the room, just flinging it over his head.
I had writing already on my bare chest for some reason.
It says go Mets for some reason.
Go 97 Mets.
So we're jumping in the cars and getting a group of friends, and we're going and taking the weekend off in Tahoe.
Bachelor party. It's if you've been listening to the show, you know I'm getting hitched in T-minus 1 month-ish, and it's bachelor party weekend.
Yeah.
So we're all farewell, nice- Cinema Recon. It's been a good ride. Thank you both for listening.
I'm gonna be doing the next show with Jake's corpse.
So, Jake, what'd you think about that movie? Oh, God, shut up.
Apparently he's a talking corpse. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, whatever.
A lot of weeks in planning, and we've got quite a few friends joining us. And
how many are we rolling with? Like 17?
17 people.
Yeah, that's good people.
Yeah,
that's
none, good people. None of them know Jake, but but they're willing to have a good time in Tahoe.
Well, it's actually just a it's kind of a timeshare dealy we're going to do to try to sell them on a subscription base. Subscription for Cinema Recon.
you charge them at the door.
Thank I'm glad you. You're all here.
Yeah.
Have you heard of this show?
Have you heard of Obamacare? Give me your paycheck.
Here's your free box of Barrios.
So, yeah, we're looking forward to that. You know, there's something else happening this weekend, though. I'll give you a hint. It has to do with you. I'll give you another hint. It's Jake's birthday this week.
Oh yeah, I seriously didn't know.
he completely forgot.
I was literally racking my brain. I was like, well, I thought you were gonna maybe like surprise me with something we were doing for the bachelor party, because if you guys didn't know, Paul's my best man, so he's been throwing this whole bachelor party shindig. So I thought you were gonna be like, you know, we're gonna take like a helicopter ride or something. I didn't know. Oh, it's my birthday.
I wish. Now I'm kind of regretting I didn't get the helicopter ride. Actually, no. I just guessed. I'm really glad it's your birthday. Well, yes. So this weekend's also Jake's birthday, and I got him something.
Oh no!
Yes. So I'm handing Jake
a
gift. I swear it's not a box of douche.
Okay. You should tell.
No,
that
it's
story.
So I'm handing Jake a gift. It's a real gift.
It's a nice, pretty little blue box.
Yes. And I figure it's best. I wanted to give it to him actually on his birthday, but I thought, you know, it might get lost on the weekend, and
no.
And so I figured, what better time to open it than when millions of people are listening, clearly.
I just took a picture.
Yeah.
I'm going to Instagram it.
And if you don't like it,
fuck you.
You can jam it up your ass.
I am opening said gift. Thanks, yeah. Buddy. You don't have to do this.
No, no worries, dude.
See if, it's a severed head. I'm going to be very upset.
Well,
Wayne's World.
Definitely not my head. It's a very tiny box. Yeah, see if you can guess what it is. You know what it is?
No.
Oh, it's a box.
Green laser. Oh!
Yeah. Yeah, it's a space gun. So Jake's opening the box now.
I think I know what it is.
Very carefully.
I think it's an optical sight for my machine gun.
Yes. Yes, so it might very well be. We don't know. I could have put anything in the green box that says green laser on it.
I could have put anything in this green laser box for machine guns.
Yes, yes. Now he's opening it up.
Dude.
What do you think?
This is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm going to shoot so many people.
You don't have one. You don't have one,
dude.
I'm
so happy.
So what it is, it's a green optical laser sight for his... It'll fit on your Ruger, and it might fit on your rifle.
Say what?
It's supposed to be universal.
Dude, that is legit.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
This is awesome. This is way better than whatever you fake got me for last year's Christmas episode of Cinema Recon.
Well, I didn't even wrap it. We just ripped up a newspaper to make it sound like I wrapped something. So, this is awesome. Already...
I'm going to wear this on my head all weekend and just shine a green laser.
Yeah. Well, hint, hint. I was hoping you bring your guns with you to Tahoe.
There's nothing like getting drunk and using firearms.
Yeah.
Dude, so thank you.
It runs on nuclear.
I've got some plutonium.
Yeah. So hopefully it fits. If it doesn't, like I said, if it doesn't fit, if it's for some reason, but I tried to find the specifications, we can always, we can walk to Amazon ourselves and take
Hell
it
yeah.
back. Yeah.
Dude. Yeah. Thank you so much, bro.
Yeah, you're welcome.
It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Cinema Recon high five.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, that was a good one. I hope that showed up on the mics.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So there you go.
Show's over. I'm going to go play with my guns.
Now I'm going to wait for my gift. For Jake's birthday.
A return gift.
So there you have it. So
sweet. Thanks, man. I'm stoked.
Yeah,
that's super awesome.
Yeah. I can't wait to see you try it out. I picture it just like the Terminator. Like you have to do it in slow motion. We're gonna have a fog machine so you can see the laser sight. It's gonna be awesome. So
They have fog machines at banks, right? When the security measures go off.
I was hoping they had fog machines at the gun range. That'd be cool.
Hey, I need a little more fog around here.
So there you go. Bachelor party, sweet. Jake's birthday.
Guns.
Lots happening. So with that...
What are you doing, Cinema Recon listener? Loser.
If you guys are opening presents right now, we'll wait too. We'll wait. You can talk about it.
I can't hear you.
Yeah, open louder. Why don't I jump into the rundown for Spider-Man 2?
Jump down to the run-in.
The Amazing Spider-Man 2 was released today. Wow, how many times do we get to say that? Today, May 2nd, 2014. It has a rating of PG-13 and a running time of a mere 2 hours and 22 minutes. The Rotten Tomato...
A brisk 2 hours and 20 minutes.
It breezed by in the heat, the sweaty theater that I was in. Would you care to guess the thermometer? Thank you, sir. Jake just poured me a fresh cup of Joe.
It's not really a guess. I saw it. It's in like the mid-50s.
Oh my gosh. 56%, which according to the thermometer standards, is rotten. So...
Ew, stinky rotten.
Yeah. The film brought to us by Sony. You have them to thank for this rotten tomato.
Speaking of my new laser sighting...
directed by Mark Webb. And I went back and listened to our old Spider-Man review of the original Amazing Spider-Man. And I was particularly tickled by the fact that his name is Mark Webb.
I was just going to say that.
And I was all excited about it. And you just looked at me and you're like, that's not funny.
In the show?
So? Something like that, yeah.
That's hilarious. What a hypocrite I am.
You like to do that.
Because I was just about to be like, how awesome is...
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you just like to make me feel stupid.
Well, that is definitely a given. But do you think that had, any...
the reason they picked him?
Yeah, seriously. I mean,
well, it's either Mark Webb, Frank Spider Guy,
or Steven Spielberg.
Let's go with Mark Webb.
Frank Spider Guy.
Yeah,
he's sitting up there. Hey, so you think I got this movie?
I'm a shoo-in.
I don't know why I sound like this.
The film stars Andrew Garfield, Emma Stone, Jamie Foxx, and Dane DeHaan.
DeHaan. I think.
I like to say his name, though. It's just fun. Dane DeHaan. The synopsis. This synopsis is great. We don't have to listen to the trailer after. You can comment on this. Right off of IMDb. Peter Parker runs the gauntlet as the mysterious company Oscorp sends up a slew of supervillains against him, impacting his life.
That couldn't be any less exciting of a synopsis. It might as well say, Peter Parker, things happen. Spiders, bang, bang.
Events occur that impact Spider-Man. That synopsis is terrible.
That's horrible.
But I'm not going to read through the entire one on Rotten Tomatoes because it's the official one and it's like 30 lines long. So why don't we listen to the trailer?
You know what it is I love about being Spider-Man? Everything.
Parker. Harry Osborn.
It's been 10 years. What have you been up to?
I do some web design.
Nice arm.
It's just the wrist. Just on the wrist, buddy.
Peter, you're gonna want to see this.
Oscorp.
He had you
under surveillance.
Why?
Isn't that the question of the day?
Nothing. What I thought it was.
I once told you that secrets have a cost. The truth does too.
My name is Richard Parker. I have discovered what Oscorp was going to use my research for.
What is all this?
The future. We have plans for you, Peter Parker. You wanted to be the hero.
Need a hand?
Now you gotta pay the price.
Bum, bum.
Amazing. That was amazing.
Yeah.
That was an amazing bit of audio. Didn't feel as long as the movie, which is also amazing.
I'm going to start with something. I'm going to start backwards. I'm going to review the movie ending to beginning.
You know what's funny? I'll go ahead and I'll let you, but that seems to be the theme of this movie, is working its way backwards.
Yeah. So I think we had discussed in a couple previous shows that for some weird fucking reason, they were going to tag on a post-credit scene for X-Men. in this movie.
Yeah.
So the movie, this movie's over. Spider-Man is dead. Spoiler. No, I'm just sorry, kidding,
guys.
So this movie's over. Spider-Man ends. The credits roll. And like the, like they are to do with the comic movies these days, there are after credit scenes.
Yes.
And one of those happens to be not really an after credit scene of as we've come to know them, like a cool little setup or a tease for another villain or something. It is literally just a clip of the new X-Men movie.
It's a commercial.
And everybody, and I saw it here in San Ramon. It was a smaller, it's smaller theater. Not that many people really know about it or whatever. But I don't know if it was a packed theater where you were at.
No.
But everybody laughed. Everybody.
They just laughed at the trailer.
Almost everybody was like,
what did I just watch?
What is going on? Why did I just see X-Men?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Might as well have been a Geico commercial.
That would have made more sense. Like, literally, everybody was like, I heard one guy just go, I'm confused.
He and just said that.
His head just fell off.
Just runs out crying. Well, the reason, I think the technical reason they did this was because something in Mark Webb's contract stipulated that he was owed something, some sort of, Bryan Singer's contract, I think. With his ties to Sony, he was owed some
70
sort of
virgins, little boys.
he was owed this or a line of choir boys. So he took both apparently. So Sony was able to promote his next movie in this movie, I guess. Which
makes no sense.
No, it makes no sense. People are getting all excited though because they're like, oh, you know, studio crossovers. But no, nothing within the context of the film. Did this play into? So yeah, it was weird.
And then I didn't even stick around because I was so over it. Was there another scene?
No, we were done. We were out of here.
Did you try to Shazam the after credits? So apparently if you use on the after credits scene or the after credits song, if you use Shazam on your phone, it was supposed to unlock some more little clips of like the Sinister Six. Like, it doesn't really show you anything. I saw it online, but I tried it, and it just gave me – it's like, this song is by Alicia Keys.
Thanks.
And I was like, is she in the Sinister Six?
That'd make for an interesting universe. Yeah.
Okay, so
– yeah.
What do you think? What do you think about the movie?
Yeah, so –
I'm glad you asked.
So I'll jump right in. The synopsis
– I wasn't prepared to talk about this movie.
Oh, man. I came ready and raring to go to talk about Transcendence some more.
I wish.
Yeah. So the synopsis really didn't help us much, but Amazing Spider-Man 2 obviously takes place right after the first. Spider-Man is having fun being Spider-Man. He is with Emma Stone. He's with Gwen Stacy's character, even though he promised her father he'd leave her alone.
So Spider-Man's a fucking liar.
What a liar he is. What a liar. He's fighting crime. The city is kind of a little – they played into the little – they're kind of torn on him. Not sure if he's a hero, a villain. Some people are with him. Some people are without him. But he's
– pretty much what they do in every superhero movie.
Exactly. He's a boy – he's boyfriend-girlfriend with Gwen Stacy.
Oh, my God. He's boyfriend-girlfriend?
And, and amidst all this, we have Jamie Foxx's character who becomes Electro and starts wreaking havoc and basically Spider-Man has to do something about it. And that's pretty much the plot of the entire film. That's like it. There's a little underlining. They've been trying to do this whole underlining thing about Peter Parker's mysterious parents and how they play into the superhero abilities that he's received and Oscorp as a whole. But they don't really progress that story very much other than we've learned the fact that his parents are dead.
Yeah, they're dead.
Yeah, definitely dead.
Yeah, they crashed from like a plane.
Yes. We get a little opening scene with Peter Parker's parents as they're trying to upload some strange program to Roosevelt, whatever that is. Maybe it's a code name, and they crash and die. And that's pretty much it. We don't really learn much more about where they're going with this whole mysterious backstory that seems to be playing out differently in the comics.
I think they were going to Jurassic Park.
I wish. That would be fun. Spider-Man in Jurassic Park.
Spider-Man Jurassic Park crossover?
Ooh, with a commercial for Batman at the end. Because that would make sense.
That'd make more sense.
So, and that's pretty much all I can say about the plot of the movie, because really, I felt like there was no plot to this movie.
I feel a little betrayed, and I feel like you borderline have a case for false advertising here with the other villains.
It
was complete bullshit. The 2 hour and 20 minute movie, I'd say 2 hours of it had no other villain other than Electro. Green Goblin was five minutes
at most
of screen time.
Yeah.
And the Rhino, as we come to know him as the Rhino, maybe a minute and a half, maybe, of screen time. At the very, like, shoehorned in.
Yeah.
Which is a complete waste of a villain at that point.
Which I'd love to, I'd love to talk about the villains in more detail, because they were my biggest problem, with the movie.
Oh, yeah. Now, like, it's like, okay, you can't advertise all these posters with, like, three villains, and it's like, oh my god, and then it's like, and then you just have one pop in at the end, and it's like, hi,
bye.
I'm in the movie, I satisfied my contractual obligation to make an appearance.
Pretty much.
It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And that's over.
Well, our main villain is, of course, Electro. They weren't lying about that. I remember Mark Webb saying, he actually came out and said the Rhino was only going to be in it for like 30 seconds, but Electro was the main villain.
Yeah.
But, did you have a hard time understanding why he was villainous?
That was going to be my main complaint. I don't think there was very much motivation.
No.
For either.
For anybody.
For Green Goblin, or I can see maybe the Green Goblin a little bit, but especially Electro. He was all gung-ho about Spider-Man, because when he was the regular guy, Max, whatever his name was, Spider-Man saved him from, like, a truck from some bad guys, and he was all happy about that, so he got kind of, like, infatuated with Spider-Man and thought he was the coolest, and then he gets electricity, and then he's like, I hate you now, and
I hate Spider-Man.
And I'm going to basically just insert generalized bad guy motivation here.
Yeah.
It's like, and then I'm going to show the world.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Why?
Yeah, yeah.
Why do you have to do that?
Exactly. It was just like, I'm bad because I'm bad. And it just felt like,
I'm bad because I'm electric.
Yeah, yeah. I have powers, and there's a superhero in this movie, so I guess I better step up and fight him.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
No, it really didn't. So, yeah, I had a huge problem. What a weird character, too, by the way. Like, his kind of, like, little... You're right. He was, like, a little obsessed with Spider-Man in the beginning, but, like, I don't know. He was very fickle in his allegiance with Harry Osborn, and yeah.
The whole thing didn't make much sense.
No, it made absolutely no sense. This movie created set pieces for Spider-Man to swing around in and kick people in the face.
Yeah.
And things to blow up.
Yeah.
I saw it with my buddy Dan, and Dan made a good
Dan, what's up, man?
Yeah, he made a good observation. He was like, this movie felt like that every single scene was working backwards from, they came up with the idea to have the scene. They're like, oh, it would be cool if they're flying and things blow up. And then, like, they work backwards to fit that into the movie. And so it's like, wouldn't it be cool to have Electro in this movie? We'll put him in there and we'll figure out why he's in there later.
Yeah.
Everything's felt like very disjointed. It all felt very kind of like, now this is happening.
Yeah, I mean, I think overall the movie just lacked motivation, and I do feel like it was kind of just like put together from scenes rather than a cohesive story, because the movie felt really disjointed and like jumping around from like scene to random scene to random scene to scene. And I'm just like, what the fuck is going on? And
Stop it, movie.
No. But I'd say my biggest complaint, and I've mentioned this a lot before about superhero movies, and I think I might have reached my breaking point with this movie.
Uh-oh.
I am fucking tired of CGI. I'm really fucking tired of it fucking hurts my head to think of, like, the directors or the writers or whoever, like, sitting in a room and they're just like, and we'll just have fucking shit flying everywhere and sparks and electricity, and they're gonna bust through the fucking walls of the building, and it'll be tiny little shards of the building spraying out everywhere, and it'll just all be fucking CGI, and then there's electricity and fucking laser beams and Spider-Man and spider webs, and everything's just fucking shit everywhere. it's driving me nuts, dude.
And then everyone on set goes, so what are we filming today? Nothing. No, we're gonna do that all post-production.
Nothing at all. It's driving me nuts, man. Like, I'm getting so like confused, not confused. I'm just so, it's just so like mass.
He's like, you're like shivering and like in a fetal position.
No. It's just like draining for me to try to watch all of that.
Yeah.
all the time.
For 2 hours and 22 minutes.
Well, like, think of all his fights with Electro. You know, they're all over the place. They're busting through walls. There's tons of, like, explosions. It's almost like a small disaster porn, right? Yeah. Where it's just, like, just buildings collapsing and all the CGI that goes along with that. And just trying to keep up with all that and all the movement and quick movements and shit. And, yeah, like I've been telling you, I've been watching Man of Steel's been on HBO. I've been watching that lately. And same thing with that movie, you know, just, like, buildings. And it's, like, I'm sitting there watching and just thinking of, like, the poor, poor, like, CGI programmer who's got to sit there and, like, make every little piece of that building crumble and, like, whatever. And like for 2 hours.
Well, he's getting paid.
Well,
he's just handsomely. So don't feel too bad for him.
We promise you 1 hour with Bryan Singer.
Yes. We're like, yes, yes, I'm 13.
Oh, burn. But, yeah, I'm just fucking tired of it, man. I'm really getting, like...
Yeah.
Like, I think it's a classic mistake of, you know, more special effects does not a better movie make. You know what I mean? And it's like, I really wish they'd stop trying to go, how do we go bigger? How do we go more?
Yeah.
How do we go more explosive?
It's
do we go more?
Borderline anime.
Yeah. And it's just, I'm tired of it, man. I really am. But we're not getting away from anything anytime soon, which is sad.
Yeah. No, it is.
In my opinion.
Yeah. It is pretty sad. It really felt like, Just jam as much stuff in this movie as you can. If it's incoherent, it means it's good.
Yeah.
It's a very Michael Bay approach in some scenes.
Yeah.
We walked out and Dan was like, this was Transformers, basically.
More or less.
He's like, this movie was Transformers.
And then I thought, so he fights the Electro, he defeats him, which is really funny. It's not really a spoiler.
No, we can
so he goes to fight Electro, and... Gwen Stacy's like, I'm coming. So they go to fight on, like, the city's actual power grid, which is ironic, but I guess it makes sense. So Gwen Stacy's like, I'm coming with you. I'm the only one that knows how to shut down the grid, blah, 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 because she actually works for Oscorp, right? She's, like, a brilliant scientist. And he's like, okay. So he's fighting Electro, and she runs up, and I assume she's going to, like, start shutting down the grid by a series of, like, computer programs or whatever.
Yeah.
But no, it's just a big switch that says like off.
It's a giant, like, jackpot lever.
That's more or less what it was.
Yeah.
I was like,
the only one that knows how to do this.
I was like, what? Okay, I guess Spider-Man wouldn't have found that big box that said power.
Yeah. Yeah, if he just got on the red phone, he could have got, like, a guy down there.
Pretty much
and he could have done it for him.
And then after he defeats him, then, of course, Harry Osborn shows up as the Green Goblin.
Which, the way he defeats Electro, isn't that kind of silly? Don't you think it was a little odd?
What does he do? He overloads?
He gives him too much electricity.
Yeah,
wasn't he, like, trying to get more electricity anyway? Like, wasn't that his, like, whole point? Like, he was trying to drain the entire city of electricity?
So, Electro was at the power grid that he designed while he worked for Oscorp, and he was going to suck all the energy out of it, and then he was just going to be the most... He was just going to be the most energy ever.
Yes. I am super energy man.
And so Peter goes, Spider-Man, sorry. Spoiler, I just told you who Spider-Man is. Oh, he's Peter Parker. So Spider-Man goes, I'll like reverse the charge or some crap. They're going to cross the beams.
You never cross the streams.
And give him power, but it's like, that's what he was trying to do.
Yeah, he was trying to get more power. Like, he was from the very beginning. He was
literally trying to do that.
Yeah, I don't understand like how... Not too much of a good thing, I guess, Electro.
What a great metaphor for this movie.
Yeah, pushed away from the table.
Yeah,
so then he dies, so he defeats Electro, and then now you have Green Goblin.
Yeah, and then so, of course, he's dead, so now the next villain steps in.
Wait, I thought it was weird the way that he comes to pass, like the way they make Green Goblin in this movie. He basically injects himself with some of the spider serum that was left over from the original spiders that created Peter, correct?
Yeah, so the main Osborn, what's the main Osborn's name?
Norman.
Norman and Peter Parker's dad were scientist buddies trying to make a little serum out of the spider's venom.
Yeah.
I guess some of it went south, some of it went good. The good stuff ended up with Spider-Man, and the bad stuff was injected into Harry Osborn.
Well, I guess the way they justified it was that the reason that Peter Parker was able to get abilities was because the spider serum was used with his dad's DNA.
Yeah, so
it like meshed well with him, I guess, and so he gets to be a superhero. Meanwhile, the other guy, Harry Osborn, injects it himself, and he gets to be a goblin.
So that makes sense. That makes perfect sense.
That kind of makes sense. But then, what I thought was weird though was that like he's there and he just climbs into. He's like, oh, I'm going to climb into this armor now.
He's
and
talking about Harry Osborn.
Yeah, so he's in the Oscorp facility and he gets injected and he's starting to like change and he looks all like grotesque and we don't really we're guessing he has superhuman strength at this point, but suddenly he looks over and he just happens to see the Green Goblin armor that they've been working on and he's like, I'm going to put that on and I'm going to fly this glider and I know how to do that somehow and now I'm going to go find Spider-Man.
It's the this typical case of we were just talking about this for Batman the last one, Dark Knight Returns?
Dark Knight Rises. Yeah.
Where Catwoman just gets on the Batpod, the Bat motorcycle, which is a custom-built proprietary machine.
It doesn't even look like a normal motorcycle. I think you need some training just to ride it.
And Batman's like, if you want to fire the missiles, make sure you... And she's like, yeah, I know. If that was Batman, I'd be like, really?
I have three of these.
Really? You know. Show me. Show me.
Driving around in circles. Figure eight right now.
Do the thing where the wheels spin.
That doesn't make any sense. Man, don't get me started on that.
Do the thing where the wheels spin sideways for some reason.
That does not make any sense. Anyway.
I did think the little twist of the kind of bloodline, I thought that was kind of cool. So
at least they explain it.
Well, yeah, so...
But I just felt it was so rushed the way he then was like, okay, because if that happened to me and I was like,
that was cool. I mean, yeah, that was rushed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm talking about just the DNA, how it's sliced with his dad, so he's the only his bloodline could be Spider-Man in this universe.
Which makes sense then.
Until they bend the rules in the next movie.
Sure. Yeah, until the plot calls for it. But you're right, that's a good call, because otherwise it begs the question, why are there a million Spider-Men?
Right.
Because these spiders probably bite people. They probably get loose.
You know, spiders get a bad rap. They don't all just go around biting people.
No, sometimes they steal your wallet.
Give me a wallet. I sound like Frank, the other guy.
He's holding 8 guns, sweetheart. Do what he says.
But yeah, so it's the typical case of like villain gets into some scenario and he looks over at said complicated machinery and all of a sudden he just knows how to use it.
I'm going to fly this now.
Not only that, but this was like Iron Man 3 when... Pepper Potts got into Iron Man's armor suit. It's like, aren't you guys different sizes?
No.
Aren't you maybe different dimensions?
No.
But somehow the suit just fits you perfectly. Good thing Harry Osborn that suit that Oscorp was building fits your delicate little frame so perfectly.
I was going to say, it was supposed to be for like a soldier. Yeah. And Dan Dehan, no offense.
Dane.
Greg Dane. No offense, Dan. No offense for calling you by the wrong name. He's not the biggest guy in the world. You're right. I didn't even think about that. That's funny.
Yeah, this movie, man, it was so all over the place. It was so full of holes. It was so driven by scenes rather than a story.
You're right. Working itself backwards, not explaining, like, not getting to the reasons why things are happening, but let's just make sure they happen. Checking all the boxes to make sure we have explosions, make sure at some point there's a cool scene with Peter Parker flying around and Electro vanishing and zapping things. And, oh, by the way, the third villain needs to show up at some point, so let's check that box too. Rhino pops up at the very end of the movie.
What a piece of shit.
And let me ask you, like, were you taken out of the scene because of what was happening and the fact that he was only in it for a few minutes?
Maybe because what the fuck was Paul Giamatti doing in that movie?
Well, yeah, that too. But like, what was okay, let's think of this logically. What was Rhino doing?
If you can see right now, Paul's hands are like all over flailing about his head like like if you were a cartoon, there would be exclamation points and question marks.
If I had a chalkboard, I'd be writing all kinds of like algorithms. What was Rhino's plan at the end of the movie? Because Spider-Man shows up and thwarts him at the very last scene in the film. And it's just like two seconds long, but Rhino's just like marching down the street for no apparent reason than to shoot cars.
No, he was robbing a bank.
Was he?
Yeah.
He's robbing that's what I was trying to figure out.
Yeah, yeah.
How?
When it very first shows him, he's like walking away from a bank, I think.
Are you sure?
And you can hear bank sirens going off. Does it matter?
Yeah, I didn't know. Because all I know is he's just marching down the street. Because all I know is he has the same villainous intentions as the guy who stole that tank in San Diego. And just started driving around the freeways.
That's pretty much what this movie was.
Yeah, exactly. It didn't make any sense. So, yeah, That was stupid.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I was more taken out of the scene because I'm looking at it. I'm like, what the fuck is an actor like Paul Giamatti doing in this movie? Literally.
With a thick Russian accent.
With a huge Russian accent.
Like cartoonish.
Looks like crap. You're not even in the fucking movie. He probably has 3 minutes of screen time total in the whole movie. Really? You signed on for this, buddy? Really? Yeah. Really? Isn't he like an award-winning actor or something? Like,
Paul Giamatti's kids have to eat too, Jake.
Well, yeah, they've got to eat Goldberry O's.
Yeah.
Well, wasn't I just talking about this in the last review we did, where it's like, what are all these big name actors doing signing on to these comic book movies, and how much longer is that going to last?
They just drive dump trucks full of money in their front yard.
I guess. But the movie, the movie was just like I told you on G Chat yesterday. I was like, normally, you know, I kind of shit on all these movies up front because I'm not a fan of the big over the top CGI crap. So I kind of know what's coming. But usually when I go to see them, I really do try to go in with an open mind. So yes. I can say, honestly, I liked it or I didn't like it. But I am a little more cynical than most. You know, I have a hard time just enjoying the ride. You know, it's like I'm always like, that's dumb.
Whereas I will probably go into a movie wearing my rose-tinted glasses. Jake usually walks in wearing his shit-covered glasses.
just glass shit on my glasses. I told you yesterday, I was like, I can't wait to hate this movie. I was like, I'm already lined up to not like it. But I have to admit, I thought I was going to not like it a lot more than I did.
Okay.
If that makes sense somehow.
So I thought
I was going to hate it more, to be honest with you.
I wasn't necessarily bored.
Don't get me wrong. I hate it a lot, but I thought I was going to hate it more.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying. Like, I walked out. Some movies you walk out of and you're just like, what did I do with the last 2 hours of my life?
Yeah.
This one, I was just excited to talk to you about it, but I was kind of like, oh, I'm glad I saw that.
Yeah.
But I guess I don't know if I want to ever watch it again.
I don't know if you could even put it in the category of entertaining, really.
It was there.
It was just like, all right.
We mentioned this before. What do you think of Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man?
He does. He makes a good Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. They nailed the costume. The costume was badass. I mean, the costume was like classic Spider-Man 100%.
Yeah.
It looked great. I actually really liked how they did the not completely skin-tight costume. Like, if you ever saw him, like, crouching or whatever, you could see it would be, like, baggy in parts. Or the typical scene from the trailer where he's flying down in the air and his arms are back and you can see the suit kind of, like, bunched up on his shoulder blades. Like, that's realistic to me. Yeah. That's like, if you did have a suit, that's exactly what it would be doing. Like, I like that. The suit looked great. He was great. Actually, the performances in this movie is what I was going to mention are strong.
Yeah.
I think his performance is strong.
Well, everyone in it is good.
Oh, yeah. What's her name?
Emma
She's
Stone.
Also good.
What's her name?
What is her name? She's great. I love her. Love all her work, whatever she is. Dane DeHaan, Garfield, Emma Stone. Who's the mom?
Even Jamie Foxx. I mean, Jamie Foxx plays, he does what he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
He plays a little crazy well. Sally Field is great.
Everybody's great. The dramatic elements of this movie were done really well, I think. There was a handful of, you know, kind of tearjerker dramatic scenes.
Yes.
I think that were done really well.
Yes. That was, without spoiling things, the most emotional part of the movie, I think we both know what it is, was,
oh, it was,
to me, the best part of the movie.
It was fantastic.
The way it was done.
And actually, I was going to, say that, but before when we were talking about the green goblin when he shows up and he fights him or whatever, the fight that they did in the clock tower, I thought was much more compelling than the fight that Electro and Spider-Man had, where they're flying all over the fucking city.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, Jamie Foxx is electricity.
Yeah.
He travels at about the speed of electricity.
No, he travels.
How the fuck is you not?
You misunderstand. He travels at the speed of the script.
He's just walking.
Yeah. No, you're right. I thought that too. I was like, he should be like instantaneous, like Spider-Man dead now.
Yeah, like
zap.
Like as soon as they're ready to fight, he should just be like, I got you. Just grab him on the arm. I got you.
He's a bolt of lightning.
He's literally, he's practically the speed of light for all intents and purposes.
Remember when he first manifested himself as lightning, when he first was able to materialize and he like zaps and he goes into disintegrates and then he materializes and he's wearing a pair of black jean shorts.
Why Why was he wearing shorts?
He just materializes and he's wearing like just these little like spandex shorts.
Like bike shorts.
Yeah.
He literally explodes himself into electrons.
Yeah.
And comes back together yeah. as a blue glowing man.
Yes.
But he has Nike shorts on.
It's like they look like little black denim shorts.
I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
This makes no sense.
Well, in this universe, we can't have electric junk just flapping about.
I guess. And I guess, I don't know how they're held on.
Yeah.
Does he have suspenders?
It's totally the Hulk thing where it's like, no matter how big he gets, he is always wearing, his pants still fit somehow. Pants.
Well, as Edward Norton would say, moss stretchy.
Yeah, I do. Moss stretchy. Yeah, that's pretty good.
What was I saying?
Oh, yeah.
So literally, he's the speed of light.
Yes.
That's retarded. He should be able to catch Spider-Man instantaneously.
Yes.
But when he moves from that fight to the fight with the Green Goblin, it's actually inside of a clock tower.
Yes.
Which already is better for me because it limits the scope of the fight in terms of
plus we know what time it is.
Well, plus I know when the fucking movie's gonna be over. No, that fight was way more compelling,
yeah,
way more interesting,
yeah,
than the Electro fight, and that only lasted like 3-4 minutes.
It was over quick.
I think
it wasn't even clear to me, like, I was so, stuff was happening so fast, like it wasn't even clear to me how he defeated him, to be quite honest with you.
He
had to rescue Gwen Stacy.
He hit him with like a pipe
fight
or something.
Yeah, he had him like pinned down against the gears.
Yeah.
And he was holding one gear with his foot, and he had him pinned against another gear, and then he had to rush down to jump and save Gwen Stacy. But then you just hear the gears like slam together, and then that's it. And then the next time we see Dane DeHaan, he's in an insane asylum.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, was called an institute. Did you notice that?
No.
Yeah. Anyway. you were harping on me because of the word institute. Remember
when?
That? I think it was Transcendence or some show.
What did I say?
You said there's no such thing as an institute. I think you said it has to be called an institution. Which then got me thinking.
That didn't say that.
Something like that.
No.
Roll the tape.
No. Insert clip here.
No. But I don't know. I didn't understand. Like, I guess that's a microcosm for the entire movie.
I don't understand. I don't get it. Okay, so Green Goblin is defeated.
Yes.
And then you're right. He ends up in basically the sister school to Arkham Asylum. Right.
Yeah.
So this is the Ravencroft Institution for
Blackwater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we see Green Goblin in his non-Green Goblin form, sitting there in a prison cell, and then he's visited by a shadowy figure who I'm going to assume is his dad that didn't die or something. I don't know.
I would assume that Norman Osborn's not dead.
Yeah. Anyways, so he's visited by somebody, and they're like, your plan has worked, and Dane DeHaan's like, okay, make sure it's whatever, and these guys like, okay, and I'm like, isn't this a top secret institute? First of all,
why is this guy visiting this guy?
First of all, why is he allowed visitors?
Yeah, first of all, where's your hall pass?
Seriously.
Yeah.
Like, so this guy was a super-powered villain flying around on advanced war-fighting paraglider technologies,
yeah,
and was killing the world's best superhero. Visiting hours are 11 to 3.
Anyone can just roll in here.
If you come, if you show up, make sure you have a trench coat and a top hat.
Make sure it's dark enough where we can't see your face.
And, adopt some general foreign accent.
Right.
And you're allowed in.
Oh, right this way.
Lunch is at noon.
Mr. X, is that it? Right this way, Mr. X. Yeah.
I was like, why is he allowed visitors?
hurts my brain.
Bob, this is my confused voice.
Yeah. Yeah, so then it sets up for the Sinister Six because he says, like, we need a team. He's like, I want a small team to be set up. And then we were led to believe that he's setting up the Sinister Six.
Sticks.
He's Sinister Sticks. Up
six Sinister Sticks. So the last, one of the last scenes is said general random evil guy,
yeah,
that just talked to the Green Goblin back. He's back at Oscorp, which, yes, I don't know why it hasn't been shut down by now, walking through their labs, and you see some of the stuff you saw in the trailers where he's walking past the different rooms full of said machinery, like the vulture wings, yep, the Green Goblin glider.
Doc Ox,
the stupid fucking rhino suit that doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
I don't know if we saw anything else.
No.
There was one thing or something I couldn't glance.
Couldn't make it out.
I don't know. I'm not big enough on up on these
It was villains. The bat suit.
But yeah, it's just like, okay, I guess. Sure.
Yeah.
All these things still exist, even though this corporation just tried to like destroy everything. It's like,
well, without it, there wouldn't be another movie.
So
there you go.
Yeah.
Yay.
Strong performances.
Very weak script.
Very weak script. So that's what happens when you have, I was looking at it.
Distracting special effects.
You have 7 people with writing credits on this.
Wow.
So.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to say something, right?
Yeah. It's basically, this movie was a series of shorts.
Yeah. So the main screenplay writers are Alex Kurtzman, Robert Orci, I don't know, and Jeff Pinker. The first two, Alex Kurtzman and Roberto Orci, I think they're pretty main players in a lot of these comic book movies. And then the screen story, which I have no idea how that differs from the screenplay. Oh, it's some of the same people. Why are they listed twice then? Anyways. And then there's another guy, James Vanderbilt. I don't know. 4 writers? I mean, I'd love to see a chart breakout of a rating of a movie against how many writers worked on it.
Yeah,
you know
what
I mean?
Yeah, like, how many hands it passed through.
Right, is it like an inverse relationship or what?
This felt like that. It just felt like it was kind of run through those check boxes that the movie needed to check off as it went through its motions.
Villain.
Yeah.
Check.
Yeah. Beat this villain, check. This action scene has to happen, check. Emotional scene has to happen here. And now, kind of cool action scene with a teaser at the end.
How cool was it? I thought it was pretty rad when at the end the little kid in the Spider-Man suit was standing up to the Rhino.
Yeah, that was pretty adorable.
He was pretty damn adorable.
But still, it didn't make any sense to me because then Paul Giamatti opens up his shield and he's like, "Hello, little kid." And then, but it's like you have SWAT teams standing around. Just take him out.
Just shoot him now.
Him in the head. He's open. He's talking to a little boy. Take advantage of the situation.
He's literally not shooting anybody.
No.
He's standing there with his armor open.
Yeah.
Shoot him.
Yes. No, they didn't do it.
They're all, hold your fire.
Hold your fire. This scene is important.
There's a kid. Hold your fire. This is. This scene has light comedic value with heavy dramatic undertones.
Yeah. Yikes. So
that was funny.
There you go. Spider-Man 2. How would you recommend this film to somebody? Hey, Jake, I just heard this is out today.
Oh, fuck you. Give me money. You want to see my new laser sight?
pew, pew, pew.
Tell Bryan Singer I said hello.
That was a perfect little gun sound.
Thank you. I don't know, dude.
See it in theaters? Don't see it in theaters?
Honestly, I don't even care.
I don't care what you do.
I don't care what you do
with your time.
With your stupid time.
Yeah. If you like this, you know what? This is the type of movie that, like, you're going to go see it. You know it's for you or it's not for you.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I was saying earlier. You know, I'm a little more cynical when it comes to most people. I have a hard time sitting down and enjoying, quote unquote, the ride for a lot of these comic book movies. I don't know. Fuck, I don't want to say see it in theaters, but I know for a lot of people that's how they want to see it.
If it's a comic book movie and you're a huge comic book movie fan, you're obviously going to see this movie. There's some comic book movies where I know the general public might not go see, like, you know, first Iron Man, maybe the last Captain America that came out, you know, and I would highly recommend.
Why would people see that? It was like one of the biggest movie openings of all time.
People that may be turned off by like superhero movies, I'd still recommend to them.
Such a turn off.
This movie, it won't have me defending it to anybody that wouldn't already be seeing it in the first place.
I feel like it's actually kind of difficult to make a recommendation in this instance because it's like, If I'm John Q, public moviegoer.
Hey, JQ.
Hey,
JQ PM.
JQ. I was just going to say that. I don't know. Does the average guy get excited? Like, oh, cool, they have a Spider-Man
movie.
The
average guy gets plenty excited.
Let me tell you. Except don't start talking about superhero movies. They're a turnoff. What do you think? Are they generally...
To this, you know... I think for the reasons you said, I think that the people that don't the Joe average moviegoer guy,
John P. Public Human,
is probably like, that just looks like a lot of chaos, a lot of crazy shit happening. Like, I think of like Matt, like our buddy Matt who watches the show, whereas he'd just be like, that's a bunch of nonsense. I see him like scolding me, like, how could you like a movie like that, and yet you guys don't go see Monuments Men or something like that?
I would actually love for Matt to see this movie, and I would like to be there and watch his face just be like,
just have like a him like a camera on him in the corner of the screen, and just him like rolling his eyes. I don't know how much he can roll his eyes in one episode.
He is a doctor.
And then another friend of the show, our friend Justine, who will see comic book movies no matter what. I don't know if she'll like this, but she'll see it no matter what.
Justine, drop us a line and let us know what you thought, because I'm actually interested in people who are not, like, you know, reading the movie news and shit every day like we do, what the average kind of moviegoer thinks about this stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. I guess I'm going to say see it in theaters, and I really don't know why, because I don't like this movie. But
welcome to the big machine, Jake.
Yeah, exactly. It's the man. It's the man.
Yeah. I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah.
I could take or leave this movie. Me and Dan both walked out of the theaters going, meh.
Yeah, I'm gonna totally jump on your bandwagon. I'm just gonna say whatever.
Whatever.
I'm gonna say rent it, and then rent it, forget to watch it, return it, and then wish you would have returned it earlier because you had like $5 in late fees.
That's right. That's I see where that fits into the scale.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Well, there you go. So Cinema Recon reviewing The Amazing Spider-Man 2, day one.
Opening day one.
So I think that's a that is a nice little solid show all
it's wrapped up in a nice neat little
bucket. So why don't we do this, Jake? Why don't we get our bags packed and go to Tahoe?
Let's go get hammered.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit us at cinemarecon.com.
Drop us a line at cinemarecon@gmail.com. Let us know what you think about The Amazing Spider-Man. I forgot to tell you.
Oh.
I texted you.
Yes.
I totally gave away free tickets at the show yesterday.
You never know.
I was supposed to go with Cassie. She couldn't make it last minute, so I told the guy at the booth, said, here's some tickets. I had some Cinema Recon cards on me, so I said, give these free tickets to the next people that come in line for Spider-Man, but tell them it's from these guys.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
I'm hoping one of the – I think the next guy behind me in line might have been Bill Gates. I'm not sure. We're just hoping – I'm just saying, hey, hey, Bobby G, return the favor maybe.
Yeah.
You know?
Even though your name's not Bob.
Well, it's
or
Bill.
Or Robert.
Bob. Whatever. Whatever. Billy G.
That'd be interesting.
Kenny G.
I wonder if the person that you did give the ticket to is listening to the show. If they are,
write in. Tell us what you thought of your free ticket, you fucking freeloader.
Yeah. Maybe I'll throw you a t-shirt. I'll buy you dinner.
It's probably some 5-year-old and I'm just like swearing right at them. Write in if that was you. Check us out on Facebook. Check us out on Twitter. Let us know what you thought about it. And
stick
around next time. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah. So there you go. Thanks for listening.
We'll see you next time on Cinema Recon, the show that's always amazing. Cinema Recon again. Spider-Man and spider webs and everything's just fucking shit everywhere.